And we're going to be in the book of Psalm chapter 91, Psalm 91, and we're going to be reading verses 14 through 16. Okay, yes, sir. Psalm chapter 91, verses 14 through 16, we'll read all of these together, all three of these verses out loud together. Psalm chapter 91, verses 14 through 16. We'll begin there at verse number 14, everybody reading together all the way through. Ready? Begin. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much, Lord, for that precious holy name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for coming and dying for us, Lord, undeserving. Lord, nobody on earth even comes close to deserving the sacrifice that you gave for us. Lord, thank you for the salvation that we have so freely. Thank you for your name. Thank you for the, Lord, calling out to us. And, Lord, I just thank you for the fellowship that you want with us. I ask you please be with us tonight as we study your Bible. I ask you please just give us wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Take your keep your Bibles open. I'll say this. If you missed this morning's sermon, I beg of you, get a hold of it online. Listen to it. Some of you ought to listen to it again. It'll be a truth that'll help you. Tonight's kind of piggybacks into that a little bit. I'm not going to re-preach anything about this morning's sermon, but the two topics do go together. I don't know of a greater statement in all the world than Jesus loves me. To think that the God of the universe, the creator of everything that is, he loves me. Amen. Whew, what a thought. Early this morning as I got to the church and was thanking God for our church property, as I walked across about 5 this morning and I looked up and the stars were just as bright as could be. And I said, God, you made it all. And yet you look down and see a lowly old preacher. And you love me. And tears began to run down my face. God loves me. What a thought. Not only does he love me, the Bible says he knows my name. Think about that. God knows my name. Let's go one step farther. He not only knows my name, but the Bible says he listens to me. He loves me. He knows my name. And he listens to me. Now, God's not some genie in the bottle and you rub the bottle and he pops out and says, let me grant your wish. But God loves me. God made all life. He made the universe. He's the all-powerful, almighty, all-holy God. And he loves you. He loves me. He wants what's best for us. Now, let me say this. Don't you think the God that made all this for us, don't you think he wants the best for us? Now, he didn't say the best is always going to happen. We messed that up with sin. Yes, sir. But he does want the best for us. I've got 3 grown kids. 2 of them have spouses. 1 has a child. I want the best for them. I do. I want them to have the best they can have. And if I, as a sinner, want my kids to have the best they can have, can you imagine what God wants for us to have? Wow. Matter of fact, God still listens to us in spite of us being sinners. Yeah, he doesn't have to listen to us. Go tell God what he's going to do. See how that works out. Not only does God love me, but he's the source of all love. There is no real love apart from God's love. Psalm 91:14 has one of the sweetest statements in all the Bible. Because he hath set, what's the next word? His love upon me. You know, we're not supposed to love each other even with just our own love. We're supposed to love with his love. When you go from loving someone with your love to letting God put his love on you and you loving with his love, that's a whole different ballgame. That's a whole different level of love. Our love is tainted by sin. His is not. Ours is selfish. His is not. You see, God not only loves me, but he's willing to put his love on me to love others with. God actually sets his love upon his children. He puts his love upon us. I don't have a problem with this. I just don't use it a whole lot. Everybody talks about the blood of Calvary that was spilt for us. It wasn't spilled. It was given. Spilled is implying it was accidental. You don't purposely spill something. You pour it out, but you don't spill. When it's spilled, it wasn't supposed to come out then. Well, Jesus' blood was not spilled. It was given freely. Look how nasty our world is without God. Seriously. Look how dark, nasty, evil this world is without God. And the farther away from God our world gets, the nastier it gets. I think Brother Nick, you and I were talking yesterday. It's amazing, and he asked me a very question I haven't been asked ever. But it's amazing because he said, "Is it in all your years of preaching, how has preaching had to change as our world's gotten worse?" Honestly, I'd never thought about it. You know, I have to say things in the pulpit that 30 years ago would have never been said publicly. Never. I mean, never. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old children hear words now that adults never heard publicly. And they're common everyday words. It's changed a lot. Can you imagine how bad this world would be without Christians being here? Without the Bible? Without any influence of God at all? Look how bad it's gotten with it. Can you imagine how bad this world will be after the rapture? Lord have mercy. Look at the violence in our land. The number of murders in America is astounding. The amount of violence that is inflicted upon people is just astronomical. And we watch it by the hour on our televisions. We allow our children to play it by the hour with their video games. And we have desensitized us to violence. I don't mean this in the wrong way, but I went to a public school all the way through junior high. I don't think I saw more than a half a dozen fist fights the whole time I was in school. They have that every day in the schools now. Oh, you saw pushing and shoving, but I'm talking about an actual fist fight. If you saw a half a dozen while you went to school, that was a lot. Violence is just normal nowadays. Now you have students attacking teachers. You have all-out brawls. You have to have police posted at the doors of the schools to protect everybody. Not from the outside, but from the inside. Look at the drugs that flow like a river in our country. The alcohol, the immorality, the vile alphabet soup crowd, the sodomites. I'm not that old. Shut up, Brother Scott. I'm 56 years old. Honestly, I never knew what a sodomite was till probably the time I was a teenager. I don't know that I had ever seen one till I was an adult. That's just in my lifetime. They not only were in the closets were locked. I heard about one that was in our school, and the football team took care of him and tied him up to a telephone pole out behind the school and pretty well took care of business. Say, oh, that's mean. We just didn't know what one was. We didn't. We absolutely had no idea what one was. Look how far we've come. Now, God says, and I love this, God says, because he sets his love upon us, there are seven results that take place. And he gives us seven things that take place because he puts his love upon us. If you're saved, every one of these results are available to you. Think about it. How would you like to have the seven benefits or results of God's love upon your life? You say, well, it depends what they are. Well, let's look at them. Number one, God says, first of all, that he will deliver us. Psalm 91:14 says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. It also says in verse number 15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. God says it twice in these two verses. Now look at me, but these are two different forms of the word deliver. They have two totally different meanings. In verse number 14, the word deliver means to slip out, to escape, to carry away somewhere safely. God says because he sets his love upon us, he's going to deliver us. He's going to take us from the danger, remove us from it, and put us in a place of safety. Salvation removes us from hell and puts us in heaven. At salvation, we get the Holy Spirit to guide us, to keep us away from wrongdoing and keep us on the right path. And he delivers us by putting the Holy Spirit inside of us. By the way, sometimes when we're in trouble and we need help, he gives us guidance through the word of God or the preacher or counseling. And he's able to deliver us from making worse decisions. But in verse 15, he should call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. That word deliver is a different Hebrew word. It is a word that means to equip or to strengthen, to arm or prepare. In other words, there's other times he's not going to remove you, but he's going to give you the strength and the preparation and the ammunition and the training to withstand what trouble you're in. Too many times we ask God to remove the problem and God wants us to go through the problem to deliver us in the problem. Sometimes we're going to be pretty weak if we never face opposition. I feel sorry for the younger generations of preachers in America today. Can I tell you why? Most of them have never had to fight for anything. I mean nothing. And I thank God for our Christian school. I thank God for our kids growing up in being protected in a good environment. And I am for that. I will do that. I will teach it. I'll preach it to the day I die. But I'm going to make sure your kids labor and struggle along the way a little bit. Say why? Because it takes opposition to make you strong. I'm going to make a statement here that might surprise you. I went to public school from kindergarten all the way through eighth grade. I did not go to a Christian school till I went to my freshman year of high school. My dad's sitting back there on the back row right now. He'll attest to this. after the first week of school, my mom asked me a question. She said, "So, in comparison to the public school, how is it?" I said, "Not a whole lot different, other than you got teachers that care about you." I said, "Because all sinners are sinners." I said, there's a lot more good kids than bad, but the bad influence is still there. A Christian school doesn't mean it's perfect. If you expect Grace Baptist Church School to be perfect, do me a favor, don't put your kids in. It's not going to be. Number one, your kid's there and he's a sinner too, or she's a sinner. And we know Brother Anthony's a sinner. So we're going to have troubles. Guess what? You're going to have it no matter where you go. A change of geography doesn't change the fact that we're still all sinners. Running away from it doesn't fix it. So God's going to equip you. By the way, I thank God I went to a Christian school, because when I went to a Bible college, I found out I had to stand there too. Huh. Some of the very people I stood against when I was in Bible college now are a bunch of liberals preaching around America. Stood against them in college and I had to stand against them the rest of my life. Most of them were California boys. Anyway, God also will deliver us by giving us strength and preparation to get through. God's not always going to take you away from the situation. He may leave you in it to give you the strength to make it through the situation. God's job is not to remove all of the problems and give us the benefits of a sinless life while we are sinners. Did you hear that? What makes you think you have the right to live the benefits of a sinless life when we're sinners? Our sins are forgiven, but until heaven, we can't expect the benefits of a sinless life. "Well, I thought everything was going to be better." No, where'd you read that? They killed Jesus. If you're still sucking air, you're doing better than he did. God doesn't take all of our oppositions and problems away, but he will strengthen and equip you and give you the ability to get through what you're facing. I've got to hurry. God says he'll deliver us. Number two, the Bible says, "I will set him on high." That means this. This doesn't mean God lifts us up into a high position of leadership to attain popularity or to have prestige. That's not what setting on high means. God says that because he loves us, he will place us or set us on high. That word "on high" means inaccessible. In other words, he's going to make some of the opposition make us inaccessible to some of the opposition. Not all. I joke a lot about politicians and stuff. They don't intimidate me. Can I tell you why? Their position's below mine. I'm the man of God. I'm not any better than they are, but my position is the highest in the land. I would have to step down to be president of the United States of America. What I do lasts for eternity. It is a matter of eternal life, not temporary life. And it would be a step down for me to run for president. Everybody doing okay? I believe that with every fiber of my body. It doesn't mean I think highly of myself. I think highly of this position. It's not something to be taken lightly. When a boy or a young man comes to me and says, "I think God's called me to preach," I always say, "You think? Yep, well then God didn't." "What do you mean, preacher? When you can come back and tell me you know, then let's talk." Don't get in it just because you think it looks fun. You'll get out when it ain't fun. You better be God called and God sent, not mama called and papa sent. Met a lot of them and they've messed up in the ministry along the way. Job faced satanic opposition, but God set him on high and would not let him destroy his life. Satanic opposition, God set him on high. God did not say, Job, you're not going to go through problems. God said, you can do whatever you want, but don't kill him. I'll put my protection, I'll set him on high to where his life is inaccessible to the devil. Our pride wants us to get a position. We think that set on high means I have a position. Can I tell you something? Positions don't mean anything. Good night. There used to be a day when people didn't care what the position was. They were just glad to have a job. Now, if you don't have a three-word title, you don't want the job. If you graduate from college and don't make $100,000 a year, that's below your educational standard. Bless God. That's called pride. That means you're full of yourself. We need to live so that sin and evil is not as accessible to our family. Set your family on high to where sin and evil is not as accessible to them. Be careful what music your family listens to. Did you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Be careful what entertainment you do as a family. Be careful what friends you have. And I didn't think I'd ever have to say this. Be careful what cartoons your children watch.
Yes,
cartoons are filled with demonism, black magic, and Satanism. Filled with it. Did you know that Tom and Jerry is now PG? Because of all the violence. Good night. A cat getting beat up is great. That's not violence. That's where I learned to hate cats. I'm serious. And yet you got Power Rangers. Where do they get their power? It's not God. Everybody doing okay? Or you got Marvel Comics. That's as obscene as a porn show. Well, they're clothed. Yeah, but if you peeled it back, it wouldn't be. You could see everything inside. You just can't see what the color is underneath. You wouldn't let your daughter walk around in that stuff. Come on now. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. Be careful what games you play. If you knew how much Satanism is involved in video games, I'm not saying every video game is bad. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand because you don't have a computer. I understand better than you think I do. I know more about a computer than you think I know. Just because I can't push the buttons and make it happen doesn't mean I don't understand it. I've got a better assessment of it than you think I do.
Yes, sir.
I know. There's a new term, and I'm seeing it more and more. Loki. I think it's some kind of character. That's the devil. That's another name for the devil, and yet we'll play it by the hour. Look it up. Hello? You play with the devil more than you know. I got to hurry here. Be careful with social media, listening to the news media. Guard your family from the evils. Set them on high. Number three, God knows my name. I love the end of verse 14. He hath known my name. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 21. I'm sorry, Revelation Is it? Let me look here. Revelation 2 or 21? Hang on. I know you don't know. I don't know yet either. Yes, chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 17. Let me show you something real sweet in the Bible here. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone. In the stone, a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Back in the 70s, there was a fad with girls. They had pet rocks. How many of you girls had pet rocks? Yeah. Got rocks for a brain. Anyway, pet rocks. They'd paint them all kinds of colors and carry them around and put diapers on them. I mean, it was stupid stuff. Now, wait a minute. God says that when we get to heaven, he's going to give us a white stone and it's going to have a new name written on it. And only the receiver and God knows what that name is. Can I give you what that means in our language? A nickname. A pet name. My grandpa Bush, my dad's dad, used to call me Shotgun. I'm not sure grandpa knew what my name was. He just always called me Shotgun. He called my brother by name, but he always called me Shotgun. I just accepted that as a term of endearment. I could have been called worse, amen? Brother Carlos Demers used to call me Burning Bush. He used to call me the Burning Bush every time I'd talk to him. I got into Bible college and got in the ministry, and I called him one day. I said, Brother Carlos, you probably don't remember who I am. This is Craig Bush. Is this the Burning Bush? He said, this is he. I love it. I worked for Brother Hiles. Matter of fact, when I was in Bible college, Mrs. Lopez, you were there. I wasn't a person that made a lot of noise and was the center of attention. I tried to fly under the radar. I was a person that tried to avoid the public view. I walked in for my senior appointment. It was January of my senior year of college. And I walked in and said, Brother Hiles, this is my name. He said, I know who you are. I didn't know what to say after that. He said, you stand out in the alley every Sunday morning, shake my hand. Been doing it for the last 3 years. He said, you work in the Bible clubs. I know exactly who you are. I went to work in California, busy out there working. Somebody sent me a tape from chapel, and Brother Hiles called my name in chapel about the work that we were doing in California. That was before they had CDs or anything else. And yeah, ancient times. Shut up. Yeah, it was reel to reel too. But I didn't even know he knew who I was. He called me up one day and asked me to come work for him. Honestly, when I got the phone call, I said, Brother Hiles, that's not funny. He said, I'm not teasing. My knees started knocking. I had never had shaky knees before in my life, but they were shaking then. I got to work for him. He always called me Brother Craig. Last day I saw him, we had prayer time in his office. Those of us that had quick question we could stay afterwards and ask. And he said, Brother Craig, you got a question? I said, yes, sir. He said, I'll take your question first. And he said, I hate to ask you, could you do me a favor? I said, I'll do anything you want. He said, well, go ahead and ask. I said, no, sir, what do you need? He said, well, I got pain between my shoulders. I think I pulled a muscle on my back. Can you pick up my briefcase and put it up here? Yes, sir. I said, what else you need? He said, oh, nothing. We'll get it. I said, no, no, no. What else? He said, well, I got a box over it. I said, I talked to him, asked him a question, and as my custom was, I always said, "I love you, preacher." And I just turned and I took about a half a step and I heard, "Brother Craig," I turned around. He said, "I love you too, son. And I love you like a son." Those are the last words I ever heard Dr. Jack Hyle say. He had already had a heart attack on Tuesday. That's Friday. He went to the hospital on Saturday. I always said, I hope the last words my family, my preacher ever heard me say would be, "I love you." Last words my mama ever heard me say is, "I love you, Mom." I hope the last words these lips ever speak, I'll look in the face of my wife or someone that I care about and say, "I love you." Can I tell you why? I don't know greater words in all the world. But do you realize God's got a pet name for you? I think I know what mine is. Because every time I do something, he'll say, "Hey, stupid." I have no idea. That sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it, Brother Scott? Amen. God wants to be close enough to us that he calls us by name. You know, wouldn't you like to have the God of the universe call you by name? Not the Baptist name. "Hey, brother," that means I don't know, remember what your name is. Number four. Look at verse 15. "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him." God's going to answer us. Do you know if you call on God, he'll answer? You know that God's never going to not take your call? We're to talk to God. We can ask God for what we want or what we think we need. I'm going to tell you something. God's not obligated to tell you yes, though. God's not obligated to answer the way you want. He can't always justly say yes. I have a policy. I don't do for one that I can't do for everybody. It's just the way I have to live my life. I have a feeling God lives the same way. If God can't do it for all, he doesn't do it for any, because then he's showing favoritism. Calling means asking questions for direction, not telling God how he has to do something. Maybe we ought to quit telling God how to be God, and maybe we ought to ask him for direction. Everybody doing okay? "Well, God didn't answer my prayer. I asked for this." Well, maybe you ought to ask for direction and not tell God how he has to answer you. I remember one time I was probably a teenager. I was asking my dad or my mom for something. I forget. I think it was my dad. And I'll never forget. He said, "Are you asking me or are you telling me?" I said, "Well, I thought I was asking." He said, "Sure sounds like you're telling me." Whew. Lesson learned. Lesson learned. God wants to bring a gift to the wedding. He doesn't want to be obligated to sign your registry and get only what you asked for. I hate those things. I know some of you think they're necessary, but whatever happened to people just getting what they got and you didn't tell everybody what brand and what color and what this and what that? My wife and I got 7 sets of silverware when we got married. We were married over 30 years before we ever had to have silverware again. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you had 6 mixers and still on the last one, amen? Whatever happened to those days where you were thankful for what you got? I'm not saying it's sinful to have one of those things, all right? I just don't like them. We need to make sure when we pray that we ask God what he wants over what we want. How about we learn to say, God, what do you want me to have? Number 5, and I'll hurry. Says, I will be with him in trouble. Aren't you glad God's going to be there when we're in trouble? Look at Matthew chapter 25 for a moment. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 36. Actually, look at verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, or fed thee, or thirsty, or gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and take thee in, or naked, and clothe thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came to thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You know, maybe as we go through trouble and help others through trouble, we're doing it for God, not for ourselves. God says he's going to be there with us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, he said. He cannot and will not take all of our troubles away, but he did say he would go through the trouble with us. Please don't misread what I'm about to say. I'd rather go through troubles with God than a life without trouble. Because when I'm going through the troubles, I get a little closer to him. Seems like when there's no troubles, I'm trusting everything going on real smooth. It takes those troubles for me to get real close to him and snuggle up. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, but how can he comfort if there's no problem? If there's no hurt, if there's no pain. You look at the life of Job or Moses or Joseph or Daniel or Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, David, Paul, many of the disciples. It was because of the trouble they faced that they became great leaders and got close to God, not the lack thereof. God does not say he'll take away all the trouble, but he'll go through that trouble with you. Number 6, the Bible says that he will honor him. The word honor does not mean giving awards to. Honor is not placing medals of participation or whatever upon someone's uniform. Honor means character, integrity. God says, I'll put character and integrity into you. Having character is more important than having recognition. Yes. Good. Parents, let me help you with something. Teaching your kids to work when you're not there and obey authority that's not you is more important than them just obeying you. I'd hate to have to be the only authority my children listen to, because then I'd have a 32-year-old, a 29-year-old, and a 20-whatever-old she is that would only listen to me and no other authority in their life. Yes, sir. That's good. You need to teach them to listen to all the authority. Well, I don't agree with certain authorities. You better teach them to obey that authority. If you have a problem with the authority, go to the authority and don't talk in front of your kid. And you still may not agree with them, just like I don't agree with some of the leadership in my children's lives. You think I agree with all the leaders in my son Jeff's life right now? Yeah, I know who the commander in thief and chief is. I don't always agree with it, but I've backed him in what he's doing. Everybody doing okay? Yes. Hang in there. Honor means to make large what's been given to you. Children, obey. Honor thy father and thy mother. That doesn't mean that your children as adults are supposed to obey you. Well, they honor me by listening to what I want. No, 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 no. The word honor there means they take what you taught them and make it bigger. Amen. They enlarge upon it. My children will honor me if they take what they've been given and make it bigger than what I gave them. I've done my best to take what my parents gave me and build on it and make it bigger than what they gave me. That will honor my father and my mother. Notice it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor thy father and mother. Two different titles. Two totally different titles. They're supposed to take what you've given them and build on it. My brother is a very successful businessman. He's honored my dad and my mom in the fact that he took what they were he was given and has built it bigger than what they gave him. Everybody doing okay? That's called honoring. Not at 57 years old saying, Dad, I can't pay my bills, I'm going to move in with you. That ain't happening. He might be almost 85, but that ain't happening. He'd let my wife come, but not me. Character is more important than money or things or status. The process of honor is not fun or exciting, but it sure is a good life. Number seven. Got a minute. Verse 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This doesn't mean that you're going to live to be 120 years old. Amen, Brother Jim. But I hope you do. It means you'll get more out of the years that you have. With long life. You know, I believe that the child of God with biblical character gets more out of life than the lost person. I really do. I believe I've gotten to experience more life at 56 years old than most people 56 years old. I've gotten more out of life than most. Because I've tried to do it God's way. I've understood his love upon my life. And let me tell you something. God's mighty good. Amen. Some may have few years but make a big impact. A man named David Brainerd is one of the great preachers in America in the late 1700s. I believe he was the son-in-law to Jonathan Edwards, lived to the age of 29 and died. Are you doing okay? I know many young men who only served God a small period of time, but my dear friend, Brother Rick Walter, passed away. I think he was 42 years old with cancer. But he's got a church that's still thriving up in Maine. Trained a young man to be his assistant. Brother Chris Druller's doing a good job. Finished off about a 15,000 square foot building, 7,500 each floor. I think he said they had 148, 150 in Maine today, and they had 20 inches of snow this week. That's not too bad. I guess it still works, doesn't it? I know many young preachers who've lost their lives. I know many people who only served a short period of time but did a lot in those short years. To think that God not only loves me, but he puts his love on me, puts his love in me, and gives me these seven things. Let me ask you a question. Then why do we think we can love somebody better than God does? Let's quit loving with our love. And let's love with his love. And when we do, he can put these seven things in your life and what a wonderful life it can become. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him? I wonder if you want those seven things.